Today we continue our study of Revelation by focusing on chapter 15. I want to read chapters 15 and 16. They belong together. They form a unit, as we are going to see, but we will focus our attention on chapter 15. And so Revelation chapter 15, and beginning with verse 1. And before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. Our Father and our God, we pray now for your grace that we may put away all filthiness and wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would enable us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Reveal Jesus Christ to us, we pray, through the Scriptures as our Savior, our Lord, our King, and by your Spirit conform us into his image, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 15, and beginning in verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what happened to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass, with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. And out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen with golden sashes around their chest. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard the altar saying, Yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be exposed. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth, so great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. This is the word of God. Now, what we have just read is the final cycle of judgments which will occur at the end of the tribulation period. The seven bowls contain the seven last plagues which bring the wrath of God to completion. In other words, they bring about the end of history and the passing away of the first creation, the first heaven and the first earth. The seven bowls symbolize the final stage of the outpouring of God's wrath on Babylon the Great. In them, the wrath of God is finished or completed, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. Unlike the seven trumpets and the seven seals, which bring about a partial and preliminary judgment, the seven bowls bring the final judgment. They bring total destruction. The seals and the trumpets are a warning to the inhabitants of the earth to repent of their wickedness before it's too late. But when the bowls are poured out, there is no time to repent. The final judgment cycle is not a warning, it is the end. It is the full measure of God's wrath, unrestrained and unmitigated. Now, one thing that you will notice about these seven last plagues is that they resemble the plagues of Egypt. The plagues of Egypt, which preceded the Exodus, or Israel's departure from the land of Egypt, foreshadowed the final judgment. The seven last plagues are poured out on Babylon the Great, the city which is figuratively called Egypt. And this final judgment cycle brings about a new exodus, the ultimate exodus, in which God's people are delivered from a new Pharaoh, the beast. And just as the Israelites celebrated their victory over Pharaoh, standing by the Red Sea and singing the song of Moses, so too the church celebrates its victory over the beast, standing by the heavenly sea and singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John sees a vision of this victory celebration in verses 2 through 5. In verse 2, John says, I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. Now, John had already seen this sea of glass mingled with fire, radiating with the divine glory in an earlier vision of the heavenly temple, which we saw back in chapter 4. And as we noted when we covered that chapter, this sea of glass is the heavenly sea before the throne of God. In Solomon's temple, the earthly counterpart or copy of this heavenly sea was the so-called sea of bronze in the outer court, which the priest used to wash themselves before they went into the sanctuary of God. And the idea is that before drawing near to the throne of God in his holy sanctuary, the priest had to pass through this sea. And that is what has happened in Revelation chapter 15. Someone has passed through the sea, the heavenly sea, and is standing near the throne of God. They have crossed over the sea of glass and are standing beside it. And who are these people? Well, verse 2 says, they are those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name. So these are the conquerors, the victors, who have defeated the beast. Now, don't forget the irony here. What does it mean that they conquered the beast? It means that they were faithful martyrs. These are those who were slain for their testimony of Jesus. These are those who were killed because they refused to worship the beast. Now, from an earthly perspective, it doesn't look like they conquered the beast at all. Quite the contrary, it looks like they were conquered by the beast. But from a heavenly perspective, which is the reality, they are the conquerors. They are the victors. Now, again, it is the paradox of the lion and the lamb that we saw earlier in Revelation chapter 5. The lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered by becoming the lamb who was slain. And in the same way, the victors standing beside the sea of glass, celebrating their victory, have conquered by being slain for the word of their testimony of Jesus. By their faithfulness unto death, they have succeeded in crossing over the heavenly sea of glass mingled with fire and are standing near the throne of God. And just like the Israelites who celebrated their victory over Pharaoh after crossing the Red Sea, the martyrs here celebrate their victory over the beast, standing beside the sea, the heavenly sea. So this is the new and greater Exodus. This is the ultimate Exodus, which calls for a new song. And the new song, which is the song of the Lamb, recapitulates and fulfills the song of Moses, because this is the ultimate Exodus. It is the fulfillment of the type. Now look at verse 3. You can see this most clearly in verse 3. Verse 3 says, "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." So it is the fulfillment of the song of Moses. The song of the Lamb is the song of Moses brought to fulfillment or recapitulated. And the song is this: "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Now that's the song of the victors, the song of the conquerors, the martyrs. So Israel's victory over Pharaoh at the Red Sea foreshadows the church's victory over the beast through martyrdom. Passing through the Red Sea was a type, therefore, of martyrdom. It was a type, to put it in other words, of death, burial, and resurrection. Specifically, it was a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ himself and of the saints in him, which of course is symbolized in our baptism. It is through his death, burial, and resurrection that Christ defeated death and Hades and the powers of darkness, and we participate in, we share his victory by being united to him in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so the martyrs who are crucified with Christ share the victory of Christ. With Christ, they have passed through the sea. They have passed through the heavenly sea to their victory. Now, this is true of all believers, not only of the martyrs, because in a sense, all believers die with Christ. All believers are crucified with Christ. All believers are witnesses of Christ, martyria, witnesses of Christ. But not all believers will seal their testimony with their own blood, though we should all be willing to do that. And things, beloved, can change for us very quickly. The level of hostility toward the church in our day, in this country, is far greater now than what it was a generation or two ago. And so don't assume that you'll never face persecution in our country. The Russian people were Christianized long before the United States of America came into existence, and look at the great persecution that happened there in the previous century. So we are still living in the tribulation. We are living in the tribulation. We have been since Christ ascended into heaven. We are living still in the tribulation, and there will be no golden age before the return of Christ. In fact, things are going to get worse. Things are going to get much worse before the end. But don't forget the lion and the lamb. Martyrdom spells victory, not defeat. It spells victory, not defeat. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, When you see these things begin to take place, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. We are living in difficult times and perilous times, but it's no time to panic. It's no time to despair. We know how the book of Revelation ends. Christ wins. Christ reigns. And we reign with him. And we reign even now. We reign with Christ in our suffering and affliction and death, because that's how we conquer. That's how we overcome the beast. Now, this chapter, Revelation 15, concludes by returning to the seven last plagues, the seven bowls. In verse 5, John said, "After this I looked in the sanctuary of the tent of witness," or the tabernacle of witness, which is the same name that was used for the tabernacle that Moses and the Israelites built in the wilderness. That tabernacle was an earthly replica, an earthly copy of this one. This is the original. This is the heavenly tabernacle. "After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. The veil was pulled back. And out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen with golden sashes around their chest." So these angels are dressed in priestly clothing, priestly vestments, because they are the priests of the heavenly sanctuary. And they come out of the sanctuary carrying the seven plagues. Verse 7 tells us that one of the four living creatures, which we saw back in chapter 4 of Revelation, gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary, the heavenly temple, was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. It is time for the destroyers of the earth to be destroyed. It is time for the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the harlot Babylon to be destroyed. The heavenly temple is filled with divine incense, the same glory cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness, the same glory cloud that rested on top of Mount Sinai, that rested on the tabernacle and filled the sanctuary of the tabernacle, the same glory cloud that later filled Solomon's temple. And when it did, the priest could not even enter into the temple. Here, that glory cloud fills the heavenly temple. It is time for the Lord to act. The great day of his wrath has come, and who can stand?